I want to just conclude this time together today by asking you a question. Why do we partner with others in ministry? Why do we partner with the African Children's Choir? Why do we partner with Bob Astin and Lynn Astin? Why do we partner with the 30-plus missionaries that we support every single month here at Faith Assembly? Why do we do it? There's a story of a young girl, actually, who grew up in the United States, but her family were immigrants and they had never become citizens. She decided at the when she was old enough, to become a citizen of the United States. And so she took all the different classes and went through all the different necessary requirements and got to the point where she was joined with all the rest of the folks becoming a citizen that day, and she raised her right hand, as we have seen people do, to take the oath of citizenship. And the question that was posed to her was this question: do you swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic? And she paused for a moment and she looked around and she had this concerned look on her face, and her response was, all by myself? You know, that's a funny story, and the thing about it is, as the body of Christ, we've all been called to various assignments and tasks and opportunities that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been given various gifts by the Holy Spirit to fulfill those assignments in our lives, but as this story just related to us, we're not called to do this all by ourselves. Isn't that good to know? Let me read to you a scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, talks about these different gifts that God's given us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So it speaks to us this morning, and I want to ask you, as I read this list, how does this resonate in your heart? If your gift is prophesying, which means preaching, then prophesy or preach in accordance with your faith. How about this? If your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then certainly give encouragement. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Those are all gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to each one of us as the body of Christ, so that all of us together can do our part. And as we do our part, we're an effective, productive church. Amen? You know, one of these things that maybe I said to you in this list, maybe it resonated in your heart more than maybe the other. As I spoke out, he said, yeah, that's me. I do that. I have a heart for that, and that's good. Because that's what God has placed in your heart, not only to be, but also to do. You just can't help it. You know, we have a choice as to whether we're going to use these gifts for our glory or for His, for our kingdom, which is temporary, or for His kingdom, which is eternal. So as we focus on this, on these gifts, I want to focus on one particular gift this morning, and that's the gift that was listed in this text, and that's the gift of giving. I want to say that on this Mission Sunday, which is actually the culmination of this month, of Missions Month, where we started with Reverend Rick Collins, and then we heard a message on the next Sunday that we talked about a seed that is fertilized as a seed forever changed. It can never go back to a seed. Once a seed is fertilized, it begins to grow and take root and become fruitful. Then last week we saw the Teen Challenge men from Georgetown, South Carolina, come and minister, and the testimonies of the lives that have been changed are being changed through that ministry. And then of certainly the African Children's Choir today, and not only the testimonies of what they want to become, but what they actually have become because of our partnership in being able to bless those folks and being a blessing to them. I want to read to you with that in mind, this scripture. It's a story, actually, that took place in the book of Acts. By the way, the book of Acts, just because it ended in chapter 30 doesn't mean that it stopped being written. The book of Acts is still being written today through your actions and mine, through the different things that the Holy Spirit is doing through us in this generation in 2020. But this is what took place back in the day when the church had just been birthed. During this time, it says in verse 27, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them's name was Agabus. And he stood up and through the Holy Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And in fact, that prophecy was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. And then the disciples, as they looked around and as the Holy Spirit put it in their hearts, each one of them, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters that were living in Judea, living in that area where that famine was about to take place. And once they did this, they sent their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. I want to talk about two different things in this passage as it relates to where we are today. The first one is this, the famine. The famine. In other words, the need. You know, there's a great need in our society, not just that we would support financially by helping different folks and partnering with different folks, but there's an absolute need out there. As Agabus declared by the Spirit of a soon coming physical famine where the food would be scarce, I believe that we're in such a famine today, but it's not necessarily for lack of food and water. I want to read to you a scripture out of Amos chapter 8 that speaks to what we are going through today. It's prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. Amos said in chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. I believe that we're in a famine today of God's words. God's words. Now, not God's word, because God's word is in abundance. Many of us have multiple Bibles in our homes, I would say. You go to any hotel room and there's a Bible typically in a drawer at the nightstand. We hear preaching and radio broadcast and podcast and from the pulpit, life together groups when we have our groups together. It's not God's word. It's not the Bible that is in short supply, but it's God's words that are in short supply. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that his words are less and less declared. His words are less and less embraced as wisdom and help. His words are less and less heard as they are drowned out by the things of this world. His words are less and less relied on as the sure and solid foundation that they are. That's what I mean by that. That's what Amos was talking about. That's what the Holy Spirit was saying that's happening in the last days. We run to and fro looking for truth, and we seldom find it. We cling to New Age, feel-good, enlightened teachings and concepts that sound good on their surface but have no lasting value to them. Pulpits across our country are preaching a watered-down, more palatable version of the word as to not to offend or as to be more inclusive and less judgmental. By the way, that's not happening here from this pulpit. This is going on worldwide, as the Bible says it would in the last days, which I believe that we're squarely in the last of the last days before Jesus returns for his bride. The good news about this, though, is that running parallel with it at the same time is that God promises in Joel chapter 2 to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And I believe that that's happening as well. We see it. God's words are still being declared for those, the Bible says, who have ears to hear. As we get to partner with those locally and worldwide whom God has called to reach the harvest of souls. And we got to know this, that his word, the Bible promises, is never going to return void. God's word declared will be a word that will change a life forever, and it will fulfill its purposes in each hearer. Amen? But it requires us declaring it. It requires us proclaiming it to those around us. It requires us living it out before our brothers and sisters, our future brothers and sisters in the Lord. As his word is declared, that's why we partner with others in ministry who are declaring that word in Georgetown, South Carolina. all across the United States and the world through missionaries that we support here locally in Rock Hill, in Montana, where we heard last night about what's going on. Everywhere, the word is being declared. Lives are being changed. We're doing that here at Faith as we give of our tithes and our offerings. By the way, you're asking, well, when are we going to receive an offering? We don't receive an offering. You give in those receptacles as you're leaving here today, and God will provide. But we are going to be, I'm going to be asking you, and I've been asking you all month, this is it, this is what we're leading up to partner together in your faith promises that we're going to be filling out in just a moment. But we looked at the need, we looked at the famine. The second thing I want to talk about is the provision, which is exactly what these faith promise pledges are all about. It says the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help. Which, there's two different parts about this. First off, each to their ability. Some had a lot, some had little, but each did their part. I want to ask you, what is it that you can do today to tangibly be part of what God is doing across the world as we're partnering with these 30-plus missionaries? Some of you can do a little. It's $5 a month, maybe $10 a month. Maybe some of you can do a little bit more, $50, $100 a month as you're partnering together, all of us pooling our resources together. All of us, though, to our ability can give. So I want to ask you this morning, what can you give? What is your ability? And the next one is that it talks about, it says, each to the, of their own decision. I love this part because it doesn't delineate that they were forced to give. They weren't compelled to give. They weren't guilted or manipulated into giving. There was no strong arm sales tactics or sales pitches going on. They made a decision on their own individually as the Holy Spirit prompted them to help others. See, you have a will. I have a will. It's all about choice for us. We chose to receive Christ or not. We choose to give or not. We choose to work for him or not. We choose to build up our kingdom or his. You have the opportunity to either spend your money on yourself or to join with others to make a real difference, a lasting difference, an eternal difference in lives locally and all around the globe for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what were the results of this giving? Well, we don't know what happened in Acts chapter 11, except we have to assume that the people were helped greatly, that the famine that was on the way, where they were able to be able to make them make it through the famine, or to provide for them food and the necessary supplies that they needed to make it through that famine. No report was given, but we have to assume that those things were happening. But we can look in the book of Philippians at a gift that was given and its positive results. Philippians 1, actually the entire book of Philippians is Paul's talking to the people from Philippi by saying thank you, and here's the results. Read it. It's a great book. The whole Bible's a great book. Read Philippians, though. He's talking, and he's actually starting out in verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank my God, he says, every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It was just continuing. They didn't give just one gift, but they partnered with them long term over a long period of time on a faithful, regular basis. He says, being confident of this until now, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we pull that scripture out and we apply it to so many things, which is true. But in the context of it, he's talking about how we're partnering in ministry with other people. And that good work is going to be completed in you. He started it. He's going to carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ. When is the day of Jesus Christ? It's the rapture. After that, no more gospels needed because it's done. Our work is complete. And so we just continue it on until the trumpet sounds. He continues by saying, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending the and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Do you hear the partnership just resonating through all of this? What I'm going through, you're going through. What I'm experiencing, you're experiencing. My blessings, you're blessed. My troubles and trials, you're also carrying that with me. I'm not alone, but together we're doing this. That's what Paul is saying. He continues on, fast forward to chapter 4, verse 10, and then verses 14 and 19. He elaborates more as he's completing this book, this letter that he's written. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it, yet it was good of you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, but what I desire is that more to be credited to your account. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Again, we've pulled that scripture out, and we've applied it in a way that is maybe out of its context, and it's okay to apply it, but be careful to understand where this is coming from in the context of it. When he says, my God will supply all your needs, he's talking about it in the context of partnering together in ministry with those that God has called to do other things. That's where God's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. That's what he's connecting the promise to. As we partner with Bob Aston and the rest of those that we support, Bob and Lynn Aston and those that we support, he promises to then return it back to us in every possible way. I just want to very quickly, as the ushers are getting ready to hand out these cards, I want to just run down real quick the results of this partnership. We see what it is here. We see what Paul wrote. But let me just tell you what Paul is saying is together first, Paul's needs were amply met. Verse 18 of chapter 4 says, I'm supplied amply now that I've received the gifts that you sent. You know, the Bible promises us in so many words that the provision is always in the house. God's plan is that through you and through me, the need's going to be more than met. Amply means not just barely, but more than enough. If he can get it through you, listen to me, if he can get it through you, he's going to get it to you. But if you bottle it up, he's going to say, let me find a conduit. Where can I find a conduit that I can bless through? But if you hold it on or spin it for yourself, it's going to dry up. But to be that conduit, he's just looking for a conduit. The second thing is that it brings joy and relief to the receiver. I can say this for sure with not only the missionaries that are here today, that were our guests last night, but those that we have visited and those that we've ministered to in Ecuador and Dominican Republic and Cuba and Phoenix, Arizona and Georgetown and all these different places that we partner. He says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says, I rejoice greatly that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Do you hear the joy, the relief that is there? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been blessed with something in your life that brought relief and joy? Has someone ever just dropped off something to you at the moment that you absolutely needed it? Blessed you with a kind word or a gift or a meal or something? How many can relate to that? Oh, thank God that brought such joy. I didn't know how I was going to pay that bill, but God provided at the last minute through a loving, obedient person. God blessed me in some way. Well, that's what Paul's talking about. That's how our missionaries feel today. Did you know that there's a lot of times that missionaries need to return to the States to raise support because church pledges drop off? They just atrophy. They're drawn away from their harvest field because they had to come back and raise support where the churches have just decided for whatever reason to not support. That's like your boss saying, I'm going to pay you $500 a week. I know we promised that, but now I'm going to pay you $400 a week or $300 a week. Well, how are you going to make up that $100 or $200 a week? What do you got to do? Get a part-time job. Maybe find another. Figure out some other way, right? Well, that's what these missionaries are doing. And I just want to encourage you that your continued or your new monthly support allows us to continue our faithful partnership with these 30, now 31 missionaries to which we pledge. You know, another thing that Paul is saying that it does is it pleases God. Your gift, your faithful contribution, your partnership, it pleases God. Listen to this. The gifts that you send, he says in 4:18, are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Now, that's exactly what they are. They're a sacrifice. Pastor, I can't afford this. You can't afford not to, because it's a blessing to be able to give. And as you give, God promises that it's going to come back to you. Now, we can certainly figure out the way that you can spend this $5 or $10 or $20 this month. I can sit down with you and say, yeah, grab a cup of coffee at Starbucks. There's $20 once a week. That's $20 right there. What can you do without? What can you sacrifice? What is it that you can say, I don't need to do this. Instead, I'm going to do this because what this is temporary, but what this is eternal. And I want to sow into souls because everything's connected to a soul. Amen. We can certainly figure out the other ways to spend it, but as we decide, as we commit to give, it becomes this fragrant offering in God's nostrils that pleases Him. God knows the sacrifice that you would make, which brings us to our final point in this passage, and which is this. It promises blessings to the giver. Chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 4, verses 17 and 19 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Here's what he's saying. As we give, we are blessed to give more. As we give, we are blessed with developing more Christ-likeness in our lives. As we give, we're never more like God. Because we're never more like God than when we give. When we sacrificially and obediently give, God promises to bless us in every way, in every area of our lives. Say it with me. Press down. Say it. Press down, shaken together and running over. Why is it that He blesses us? So that we can be more of a blessing. That's why it's running over, so that He can bless us more, so that we can give more and see God's kingdom purposes expanded and realized for our generation, for this generation and beyond. So the question that I ask at the beginning is the question that I leave you with as we close this out. Why do we partner with others in ministry? Because we partner with God for His eternal purposes of souls saved and people restored back to right relationship with Him. That's why we do it. Philippians 1:19 says, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. There's a partnership that's there. And if you can't give a dime, I want you to fill out this pledge card and say, Pastor, I can't give anything, but I promise to pray every day on a regular basis for these missionaries. Because that's what he's saying in Philippians 1:19. He says, I know that through your prayers and God's provision, through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. There's a partnership that we have. And I want to encourage you, as these ushers come forward, if you didn't receive one of these cards when you walked in, if you didn't get one last night at the banquet, if this is your first time hearing about these cards, where have you been all month? But I've been talking about it all month, but today would be the day. And if you will raise your hand, these ushers would love to give you a card to say, Pastor, I'm going to make a pledge. I'm going to make a promise. And if you'll keep your hand raised, these ushers will give you a card. Now, you'll notice there's a little perforated area there. The smaller of the two pieces, you'll keep. And I would encourage you to use that maybe as a Bible bookmark, something like that where you can keep it in front of you. The larger part, if you'll fill it out with your name, address, city, state, zip, and your signature, you're either going to new pledge or renew it. And it says this, and it's just the way that it's worded. As your faith promise or commitment is an agreement between you and God, it is understood that you may revise your promise or commitment at any time. And the thing that this is emphasizing is this, is you're saying, God, I'm going to trust you that as I walk in obedience and you give it to me, it's going to go through me. I may not even have an extra $5 a month, but you do. And we were talking about this at the table, African Children's Choir table that they have, the CDs, the T-shirts, and all that they advertise. I want them to be every Sunday advertised stuff like that. It's really good. That's fantastic. But we're talking about, let me just ask you, if you were to, how many's ever seen a penny on the ground somewhere? How many's ever, it's all right to admit it because I'm going to raise, how many's ever picked it up? Sure. How many's ever not picked it up? Yeah, it's just a penny. Do you realize that if you picked up 100,000 of those pennies? No, 100 million of those pennies, you'd be a millionaire. That's it. 100 million. If you picked up 100 million of those, you'd be a millionaire. Now, don't you wish you could go back and get some of those pennies and just collect them? I mean, if you ever find a nickel or a dime or a penny or a quarter, you're going to stop and get it, aren't you? Most of you. Why don't you commit to ask the Lord, all right, Lord, as I'm walking down the road and I find these pennies and dimes and nickels, I'm going to put them all together, and that's going to be my message blessed this month. Start somewhere, in other words. Young people, start with a dollar. Children, start with 50 cents a month. Get it as part of your lifestyle, part of your culture. If you've never given before, above and beyond your tithes and offerings, start today. Say, Pastor, I can give a dollar. Anybody can give a dollar. And yet most of us choose not to. And I don't get it. But today, let me challenge you. Fill this out. And if you've not filled it out yet, raise your hand again. Say, give me one of them cards. I'm going to give something. And between you and the Lord, start somewhere. If you're renewing this, increase your pledge. God has supplied amply. Let him continue to supply more amply through you. And let's see what we can do to sponsor as many missionaries and partner with them as we possibly can. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an opportunity to partner with these missionaries that God has called for eternal kingdom purposes. Won't you fill this out? And we're going to pray over them. If you have a pen, if you don't have one, borrow it from your neighbor. Don't steal it. Give it back to him when you get done with it, okay? God won't honor that. Fill this out. Tear out the perforated, off the perforated part. Fill that out as well with the amount. Place it somewhere where you're going to see it on a regular basis. And I'm going to pray over these cards as we close out today. And we're actually going to hear the African Children's Choir one more time. And as they're ministering this last song, I'm going to let you guys continue to fill this out, but I want to pray over them. And then we're going to have the ushers come up one more time at the end of this song, and we're going to collect them before we close out in prayer. So ushers, get ready for that momentarily as the African Children's Choir comes back up here in a moment. Have you enjoyed them thus far? Yeah, what a blessing. What a blessing. I want you to take these pledge forms in your hand, and we're going to pray over them. And then as we finish praying, we'll bring up these precious kids again. Actually, here they come now. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads in prayer today? Father God, we hold these pledge forms in our hands, thanking you for the privilege that we have to partner together with missionaries that are literally covering the face of this globe. And they're ministering in the places like the Netherlands and China, and parts of South America and Central America and the Caribbean, islands in the Pacific, here in the United States as well, the Muslims that are strongly concentrated in areas of Michigan that we partner with them, the Native Americans in Montana, the Teen Challenge in Georgetown, and on it goes, just you name it. We're partnering with them, and what a privilege that it is. I pray, God, that as we all join together, and we may not be able to make a difference all by ourselves, we're not required to do it all by ourselves. As we read in that scripture, all of us doing our part, joining together these resources of our time and talent and treasure that you have blessed us with, that we're to steward for your kingdom. I pray, God, that you would take these dollars that we're pledging together, pooling the resources of these pledges and making a difference for your glory. We may not know what's going to happen on the earth, but one day we're going to have some people come up to us as a result of our sacrificial giving, and they're going to say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Because of that sacrifice, I'm here in heaven today. Lord, bless each one as they commit to this, and I pray, God, that you would supply amply through them so that we can supply amply to the missionaries and see the gospel of Jesus Christ being broadcast and spread over the face of this earth. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.